One of the most difficult things about grace is understanding what grace is, enlarging our vocabulary and our understanding of what grace is. What is you receiving? What is it that God's freely giving to all men? What God is not withholding. He said he gives grace in glory, and no good thing will he withhold from any of us. So God's not withholding anything. Amen. If God's not withholding it, then maybe it has something to do with our ability to receive it. Now, Tina started out that exhortation saying, it is done, it is done, it is done, and it is finished. It is finished. What we want to do, what we're looking to do, is receive what has been finished in heavenly places. What Christ did when he laid up the inheritance in heavenly places, when he became the appointed heir of all things, he said, I'll set my king on the holy hill of Zion. Ask me, son, now that you've ascended before my throne, the nations is thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth. I'm having to reconcile that he owns everything. That he is the legal rights owner of everything. He said, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord. That's all great. He said, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. The earth is the Lord and the fullness, say fullness, the fullness thereof. He owns it. He's the appointed heir. He's the final heir, the last Adam. When God called him, he called him as the final heir of all things, the appointed heir of all things. It pleased the Father in him all fullness would dwell. And he told John, he said, all, say all, that the Father hath is mine. Here's the good news. We've been made joint heirs. Say joint heirs. Now we can shout all day long about that. We can dance. We can run. But until we learn to receive what he laid up for us, where he laid it up for us, until we learn to receive that, it'll stay where it is. Now, you know this, but I need to say this so we can move forward today. When God gave this inheritance to the final Adam, the last Adam, when he gave it to the first one, he gave him dominion and he gave him the blessing. He gave it all to him. And what happened? The enemy came and stole it. He is operating his world system by default from the inheritance God gave to Adam. That's where the enemy gets his power from. When he stole it, the curse of the world system came into the earth. Now, when God restored that under Christ, see, Christ was standing as the race of Adam. When he was buried, when he was crucified, he said, I am carrying the race of Adam, the fallen race, and he buried all of it positionally. That's when you were buried. Your old man was buried, what? With him. When you were born again, you know, when they put you under the water, that was symbolic that your old man died. He was buried in baptism and your new man was raised together. Say together. Where? In heavenly places. We're going to have to get the reality that we are spiritual beings that must learn how to operate in spiritual places. If we don't learn how to operate spiritually, we're going to miss the greatest part of what God's done for us. And so Christ, Daniel saw him ascend before the Ancient of Days. He said he ascended in the clouds of heaven. He came before the Ancient of Days, and there was given unto him a kingdom and a dominion and a people and a blessing. He saw the inheritance of the Father given to the Son when he ascended before the Ancient of Days. He saw that before it happened. Wow. Man, I'd have liked to have seen that. When he actually came into his kingdom and God gave him all things and he laid it up for you. He said, we have an inheritance incorruptible, whether rust nor moth can corrupt, where no thief can break through or steal. One good thing you can be assured of, there is no thief that can steal what Christ inherited for you. He's not going to steal it like the first Adam, because Christ put it above him. Put it above, he says, far above all principalities and powers. Now, he put that inheritance, this is review, He put that inheritance for you. That is a living inheritance. Well, no, Pastor. That's when we get to heaven. Wrong. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. According means down from. Down from. Down from. How does he supply my need from there? Because that's where he put it. He blesses us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That's awesome. Everyone say glory. The problem is, how do we get it? That's what we're working on right now. For those of you who have not been here for the last 3.5 years, we've been on a little mission. God said, stop trying to build the ways of man. Just stop. Every time I get in front of a stop sign, stop! Sometimes God wants you to stop. You know, we want to do something for God, but we got to get something to do something with. And he started introducing us to the right hand of God, the administration of the right hand of God, the inheritance of the right hand of God, access into the right hand of God, throne of grace in the right hand of God. Started introducing us all this, taught us how to enter in, taught us how to access, taught us how to abide, how to live in the secret place, how to dwell, acclimating us to a spiritual dimension. Why? Because what God laid up for us is spiritual, but it will become very real and tangible here in the earth. So what we're working on now, where the Holy Spirit has us now, is how to receive, say receive, what he purchased for us and laid up for us in heavenly places. This is something that the church knows so little about. We're going to learn a lot about it. Acts 20, I want to expand your definition of grace. If you're taking notes, here's my definition of grace. This is how I now understand it. It's everything Christ inherited on my behalf, residing in the right hand of God. Everything Christ inherited, given as a free gift by the Father in Jesus' name. Now that's all wonderful, but until we learn to receive that, it's going to stay in heavenly places. It's not until it gets down in the earth, it becomes the reality of the kingdom. That's why he said it's the Father's good pleasure. What? To give you the kingdom. Now, Acts 20, verse 32. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace that's able to build you up and give you inheritance. The word of his grace is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. Build you up and give you inheritance. We looked at this Thursday night when Paul, under that principality that kept trying to stop him, 3 times the Paul petitioned God for it. He says, get this thing off of me. And God said, my grace is sufficient, Paul. And we look at that as like, oh, well, grace will get me through. Grace will do a lot more than get you through. Grace will cause you to overcome when you understand where it's from, what it is, and what it'll do for you, and the dependency, the awesome dependency we have to have for it. You won't be dependent on grace if you don't know what it is. You find out what it is, you'll sell your life out for it. The good thing about it, he's already purchased it on your behalf. Amen. It's a free gift. Can't work for it. And it's done. It's done. It's done. One more verse, and I'm going to drop you into this. Romans 5, verse 17 says, if by one man's offense death reigned by one, that was Adam, death passed upon all men, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. There is a grace. If it is received, it'll cause you to reign, not just get by. It'll cause you to abound, not just get by. It'll cause mountains to move from your life. Zerubbabel found this out. He said, who art thou, great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become level ground, and he shall bring forth the headstone, saying, grace, grace unto the mountain. There was great grace upon the early church. said they received the abundance. Key words there is grace and receive. Grace is a free gift. There's only one way to receive it, and there's only one place to receive it fully. You know, everyone has a measure of grace given to them for our callings, for occupations. You have a measure of grace, but if you want to receive the fullness of grace, you have to go to where grace is dispensed. Here's what we normally do. Father, grant me grace. Come, Father. Give me grace. Come here. God said, no. Come there boldly to the throne of grace. My grace is dispensed at my throne. Come to me. Come to where I am. Come to where it's dispensed. Humble yourself under the mighty right hand of God. Humble yourself. That's his requirement. His requirement is we move out of where we are into where he is. That's why a lot of us don't receive grace right there, because we're out of position. You got to be in position. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, because he walked with God and perfect in his generations. We keep wanting God to come with us with all this grace. We got to go to where he is. He says, humble self, humble everything, humble. Come to where I am. Come under the mighty right hand of God. Get in position to receive grace. That's one of the hardest things to do. The easiest thing said, we give the lip service, but reality. I mean, let's have a reality check. I'm not going to ask you to stand up, raise your hand, because I just have to ask all of you to sit back down. Myself included. How many is actually position ourselves every day where he is to receive? You know what's going to get us to do that? It's the realization. Until I get something greater than myself, I'm not going any farther. Until I get something greater than myself, I've seen what I can do. You've seen what I can do. I've seen what you can do. Until we get something greater than ourselves, we're not going any further. God's kingdom's not built around the greatest personality. It's built around those who can receive. And the realization, I can live this day and I'll get by. Or I can humble myself in realization I need something. And God's requirement is I have to come under the shadow of the Almighty to get it. I can cry for it, scream for it, whine for it, beg for it. All of that come to me. But I'm only going to have a measure. If I want fullness, I have to be with him. I have to be where he is. I have to be before the throne of grace. Come therefore boldly unto the throne of grace. Having their boldness to enter into. You got to go where it's being dispensed if you want its fullness. And until we recognize what it is and our great need for it, we will be out of position most of the time. Most of the time we'll be operating in a mixture of what we can do. And we call upon him when we get in trouble. I know I'm preaching to somebody. I don't want to call upon him when I'm in trouble. I want to gain grace to overcome now. I want to multiply and increase. I want to get something. I want to catch something from heaven. I want to catch the favor and the grace of God. I want to find grace. When Noah found grace in God's eyes, delivered him from global destruction. Boom. Made him an heir of the world. Made him an heir of the entire world. How'd you like to step off the ark and say, everything from the north, south, east, and west is yours? Not that little one quarter of an acre that you can put that house on. That mountain's yours. That mountain's yours. That sea is yours. All of it is yours. That's called inheritance. That's what we're working right now on the throne. How to receive that inheritance that he purchased for me. How do I get a hold of it to make me greater than I could ever be in the natural? First thing is get position. Say, grace is able to build me up and grant me an inheritance. It's able. It's everything that he ever purchased for me and more. It's his fullness. Of his fullness, we are all receiving grace upon grace. Grace compounded. Grace. And more grace. Ooh, Father, give me grace. See, you get exercised enough in your life to find out you can't do it. so you think you can do it, then you don't really need to wake up and get his grace because you got it. But when you can't do it and your back's against the wall like Paul's was, and there's no, God said, my grace is enough. If you get a hold of my grace, that strong man that's been dogging your tracks will disappear. Just like the mountains were moved for Zerubbabel, that strong man will disappear. Grace is the administration of his inheritance. Grace is power. Grace is healing. Grace is glory. Grace is prosperity. Grace is abundance. Grace is signs, miracles, and wonders. Grace is apostolic government. Grace is righteousness, peace, and joy dispensed abundantly upon us. Abundantly. Grace will turn your relationship with God around. It'll cause the love of God to shed upon your heart. Because God can't help himself. He loves you. We have a receiving problem. All this is laid up for us already. It's done. Say it's done. That's not the problem. We think, well, but God's going to, when I get something like this, this, that, God will do it for me. If I get perfect enough, God will do it. If I get worthy enough, God will do it. If I can get as humble as Enrique, God will do it. Probably will. But grace, it's free. It's free. This is what you got to convince yourself of, because the problem is receiving. Grace has to be received. But here's the thing. Grace is being dispensed from a jurisdiction that's not of this one. It's got to pass from a spiritual domain into you. It's got to move into your heart. It's got to move into the inner man. There are receptor problems at times. There's the inability to receive for a host, an array of things of why we can't receive. But here's God's condition. Get position and receive it by faith. Say, receive it. Now, in the Lord's Prayer, perfect, perfect example. He says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This is not the way you're supposed to that prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. That was not the way that prayer was supposed to be prayed. Our Father, which art in heaven, was the entrance of perfect worship. But that second part, with thy kingdom come, was the master plan of God. He says, thy kingdom transfer now. Thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. It's already been done in heaven. When we approach grace, we approach it from a finished work. It's already there. It's already done. All we have to do is receive it. That's a little easier said than done at times. Because it's got to come through you. You have to receive. It's not just, Father, I receive. There are things that are blockading your reception of heaven. And they have to be moved out of the way. And it has to be appropriated by faith. You can write that down. Grace must be received and appropriated by faith. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom transfer. That was the will of the Father. It's done in heaven, but we got to get in the earth. Now I've got news for you. He is not going to bypass you when the kingdom shows up. The kingdom is coming through you first. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The kingdom's going to come upon you. It's going to come through you. It's going to transfer to you. I want to walk in inheritance. I'm getting mighty close. I have never in all my years of ministry been so close. I can taste it now. It's like honey. I can taste it. I am on to something that's awesome, awesome, awesome. I found out when I'm believing God for something, I don't have to believe for the whole. All I have to believe is for a seed. And I'm not talking about sowing a seed. I have to believe. Never, never been so close. If you've been exercising around the mountain that you can't do it, you're in such a good place. You're way ahead of the game. If you still think you can, you're not ready for grace. Grace, you can write this one down, is only for those who recognize they can't live a day without it. Grace is for those who recognize they can't do without it. Fact is, we're a self-sufficient culture. We know how to do a lot of things. Mammon, oh, I'm going to meddle now. Ready? Offers us inheritance by signing on a contract that allows us to obtain what we want with a signature, providing that we pay for it 5, 7, 10, 30 years, sometimes 40 years, but you can get it now. Doesn't require believing. I can just go sign for it. I'm not condemning anybody. I've done plenty of that. But I want to find out how to receive from my Father. You know what we really want here? We want to pray to the God in heaven and have Him answer our prayer. To have God answer in the form of revival, in the form of wealth transference, in the form of generational inheritance, in the form of tangible benefits from heaven, to be able to pray, not you go work it out, not you go do it, but God do it. What did He do for the children of Israel when they went in the children of Israel? He said, I will give you houses and cities that you didn't build. I'll fill them with all good things that you didn't fill. I'll give you vineyards and olive yards that you didn't plant. I'll cause you to drink from wells that you didn't dig. I'm like, where is that? Anybody know anybody's doing anything like that? What could grace do for your present business? What could grace do for your present family? What can grace do for this church when we learn how to receive it? Because we will learn to receive it. Because we're locked in now. Amen? Okay, thy will be done on earth. Now, Mark 11. Go there, if you would, please. You must learn how grace transfers. Grace must be received. It's coming out of a heavenly dispensary. You have to get it out of there into you for it to work. Grace has got to get in you, on you, all around you. But grace is super powerful. He said, have faith in God in Mark 11. He said, he that has faith as the grain of a mustard seed. That's about Mark 11. If you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed. I'm realizing when I'm believing God for something, I don't have to believe for the whole thing. All I need is a seed that transfers. I need to transfer the size of a seed. That's what I need. All I really need is something to transfer out of the right hand of God. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now he's going to specifically tell you when you pray, Mark 11, 24, believe that you receive. He says, whatsoever thing you pray for, it said, believe that you receive and you shall have. Enrique, just stand up if you would. Now, let's say I'm believing for a ministry van, and Enrique is the ministry van that I'm believing for. Let's say you're believing for something tangible in the earth. Now, what does Philippians 4:19 say? It says, my God shall supply, right, all of your need, wants, and desires. That's hard to know. How come we always reduce needs to the electrical bill? You ever notice that? Well, he'll supply the sack of groceries, but don't ask him for anything else. He'll supply some gas for my car, but, you know, that's about all we can do. If I'm operating a $50 million a year ministry, my needs are going to be a little more than a sack of groceries. Amen? If your business is operating, you need cash flow. You need inventory. My God, supply all your need. You need tangible stuff. Now, he supplies it out of his riches. He didn't say, my God shall supply all your need according to the riches that are in the earth system. He said, according to riches in glory. In other words, according to what Christ inherited already. Worthy is the Lamb, what? To receive power and riches, right? He received them there. I will bring a seed out of Jacob, out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains. He inherited everything. I can't get into that right now. So, If my God shall supply, and it says, have faith, what? In God. But I need something in the earth. But the Bible says, have faith where? In God, right? I have faith in God. But I need that ministry van right there. So he says, when you stand praying, believe that you receive, and then you shall have. Now the ministry van, if he's supplying it from here, then am I going to receive it this way? Or am I going to receive it this way? What am I receiving then? Because those are two different things, by the way. I'm not receiving this, believe that I receive, and then, oh, by the way, I have it. No. I've got to get it. Why? Listen, Christ was the inheritor of the earth. All the Father has is his, but it's there. So what am I receiving? When I say believe that I receive, I'm receiving an apportion, a transfer, an allocation of kingdom inheritance, an allocation of grace. Know you the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. So there's obviously financial grace in heavenly places. That's where he's supplying your needs. So I'm believing, I'm receiving first. So what is God going to do? Put the van up there in heaven and drop the van down in my spirit? The ownership is legally his in the form of an inheritance in heavenly places. All power in heaven and earth has been given unto me, Jesus said. But I need to get that here. So what I'm believing for is not really this van, but I am believing for the van, but I'm believing for a transfer of the inheritance in heavenly places. Stand believing thy kingdom come. It's got to transfer to me. Believe that you receive. That is your seed, by the way. I don't have to believe for a whole van, in case you didn't catch that. All I have to do is get a transfer of grace, because if I can get a transfer of grace, and when I can get a transfer of grace, I have the heavenly substance in my vessel now. If I've got the heavenly substance in my vessel, it doesn't matter. God will move heaven and earth because something's dropped down into me that's greater than me. In fact, it's greater than the world system. In fact, it's more powerful than anything the enemy can assign against it. It has been a distribution of grace into me. Once I have that, the Holy Spirit will come and says, yes, you got it. I can take that now, and I can make that happen just like that. Let's give God glory. Now, I want to show this to you today in a parable. Before I show this to you, we saw this before in the first miracle. Think about the first miracle God did. What was the first miracle? He said the six water pots, number of man. Now, God knew exactly what he was doing. He's going to show you the mystery of the kingdom and how it worked in the very first miracle Jesus performed. He said, take these water pots. He goes, all six of them, number of man. He goes, the first thing we're going to do, we're going to take an empty water pot. You are the water pot. Say, I am the water pot. Now, what we're going to do is fill them with water. Now, this is not natural water, but for the purpose of his miracle, he did it with natural water. But we are the water pots that are filled with what? The living waters. Living waters of inheritance. What does the Bible say? Out of your innermost being shall flow. They can't flow if they haven't been released yet. They can't flow out of you if you hadn't got them flowing in you. You got to get your water pot with a substance filled with something that's not of this world. Ezekiel 47. The waters what? Broke out of the foundation of the temple. Who's the temple? You're the temple of the living God. The water breaks out of your temple. It said it flooded the temple. It said the waters issued out of the temple. So he was filling the temple. The temple didn't change the world, But what was in that temple did. When he filled that water pot with water, that was heavenly, living waters. And the Holy Spirit says, now the transfer has been made. See, in other words, the water pot received the transfer of living water. It received the allocation. And the Holy Spirit said, okay, I can now take that water. That's a heavenly substance. And I can turn it into wine. See, you don't have to do the manifesting. You don't have to do the materialization of it. You don't have to do that's not your job. I want to learn the mystery of the kingdom. I don't want to walk and go to church the rest of my life. What good is it to pray to God if he never answers me? I got to find out why this kingdom is not showing up. Well, it's not his time. So another 10,000 gets to go to hell today because it's not his will. Or maybe it has something to do with our lack of understanding, our inability to receive. How do I get my water pot full of water? How did that water initially break out into that temple in Ezekiel 47? Here's what you got to know. That temple didn't change the earth, but that water that broke out in the temple, the Holy Spirit took that water and he moved it to the Dead Sea of humanity. Now get this. When he moved that water to the Dead Sea of humanity, what happened? Everything that was dead, those waters, as soon as they touched what was dead, turned them to life, transformed the world, because those waters carry authority over the earth. They carry authority. Everything about that water takes precedence over the world and its system. When you get that water in you, that's the major step. Once the Holy Ghost sees the water in you, once he sees the transfer in you, once he sees the grace in you, he said, I can take that and I can transform the world. That temple didn't change the world. It was the water in the temple. The water pot wasn't made wine. It was the water in that water pot. I didn't need to go change the Dead Sea of humanity. That's what we do. We go out there and try to change the Dead Sea of humanity. We got nothing in us. What I need to do is stop and get me some water. I need to get a dispensation of grace. How did that one dispensation of grace change the entire Dead Sea of humanity and turn it upside down? That was the seed. All the temple needed to do was receive the water. All the temple needed to do was receive the grace. All the temple needed to do was receive the inheritance. All the temple needed to do is receive the kingdom. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He gives grace and glory, and no good thing does he withhold from anybody. The problem is we don't know where the transfer is made. We're trying to get God to do all that here. We're supposed to be at the throne of grace doing all of this. Well, Pastor, I don't have time. You know, I get my 5-minute quiet time and I got to go. Well, I can assure you of one thing. 5-minute quiet time is not going to cause a transfer of his kingdom. That's not what this place is about. We're here to receive a kingdom, and whatever the cost to receive it, that's exactly what we're going to do. Here's the parable, Luke chapter 5. The temple, the water pot, are all recipient carriers of grace. They in themselves do not change the world. You and yourself will not. But what comes out of you? We have what? This treasure in earthen vessels. The excellency be made of God, not of man. Treasure what? In our earthen. We get the unique calling of receiving the grace of God, receiving the inheritance of God. Until we learn to receive, the Holy Spirit doesn't have anything to work with. He's looking, he's inspecting the eyes of the Lord, going to and fro, trying to find something from heaven up inside you. Somebody got a deposit? Let me grab that and do something with it. Why is every single one of the New Testament saints all full of the Holy Ghost and power? What? Everybody was full. And the place filled, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and then the place shook. They were receiving transfer. When the kingdom transferred, the Holy Ghost took the transfer, because he's going to use human agency. He's not going to operate outside of man. If he was, he'd already won the whole world. We'd all be in heaven right now. You got to get this straight. He is going to use you to do it. Not sure I fully understand why God set it up that way, but that's the way he set it up. He's going to use you as a carrier, and the Holy Ghost is going to do the transfer and the creation. The Holy Spirit's going to recreate. He's going to manifest. He will multiply. He will increase. He will demonstrate. He will materialize. He's the one that turns the water. Ain't no way you're ever going to get that water to turn into wine. That's his job. I don't have to believe in the ministry man. He's going to make that happen. All I need is the seed of grace to release into me. All I got to do is receive the distribution of grace. When I get it, I got it. Say, when you get it, you got it. When I receive, I will have. Because the Holy Spirit is all he needs is the reception of that inheritance. But as long as I'm blessed with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places, it's not going to do me any good here until I get it. Okay, Luke chapter 5, ready? Now, I want you to look at this parable in the light of you are the ship that God's going to enter into. All right. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, that's a good problem to have. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two ships standing by the lake. That would probably be the two ships of the king priest government, but we'll move on from that. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, let down the net. Now, let's look at the ship for a minute. The vessel, the carrier, it'd been toiling all night. Has anybody been here toiling all night at anything and you've caught nothing? Now what God's going to do is he's going to take the exact same ship, the exact same vessel with the exact same net that was used the night before, but he's going to change everything about that. God's going to use you where you are and what you're doing. He's going to use you, but he's going to cause an extraordinary multiplication once you're done toiling. See, Peter had to get done toiling. Anybody done? See, once he went out and caught nothing, he docked his ship, cleaned the nets, said, we're done. And God said, you're just right now. You're in a really good position, because as long as you still think you can go catch something, then I got to let you get on with it. It's not until you dock the ship. So the best thing to do in the morning is just get up and dock your ship right away. Don't go jump in your ship and row out there. You know, the disciples were out on the storm. You know what they did? Row harder! Row harder! Row, boys, row. Jesus said, oh, you have little faith. I speak to this storm, be still. Not one of them even exercised faith. They were thinking, row harder. Get out. Row harder. Row, boys, row. Row. Let's get out of the storm. Not one of them even thought about speaking. Speak. So he was done. Notice what happened first. Jesus, the Bible said he was full of grace and truth. What happened? He entered the ship and he sat down. The vessel, that's you, received the kingdom. Received the grace, got into the vessel. Say, the grace got in. The grace sat down. The grace had control. The grace received. See, Jesus was received into the ship. You got to see you as that ship. I receive the grace into my vessel. First thing grace wants to do is establish the kingdom. That's why he started teaching. But grace will also bless. He received the grace. Now, the night before, there was no grace in the ship. believe that you receive. Now he's got what it takes for multiplication, what it takes for the miracle done got up into the ship. Now, if Peter didn't get the grace in the ship, he would have went back out and caught nothing like he did before. But grace got up and say, Father, I receive the grace. It is your good pleasure to give me the kingdom. It is your good pleasure to give me. You that spared not your only son, how shall you not through him freely, freely give me all things? It is your good pleasure to give me the kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy kingdom transfer. Jesus, step in with all your grace. I recognize that I will go out and toil another night if I don't get your grace into my boat. But if I can get your grace into my boat, something is going to happen. If I can get your water in my water pot, something's going to happen. If I can get your water into my temple, something's going to happen. I need something greater than me in my toil. Grace erased the toil of man. Because if it be of works, it cannot be by grace. And if it be of grace, it will not be done of works. Works and grace in the same boat within a 24-hour period, very different result. Works toiling all night, got nothing. Anybody tired of that? If you docked your ship, you know what some of us do? We dock our ship, I'm done. I am done with all of it, forget about it. That's only stage one, the dock ship, clean the nets. Don't leave it docked very long, you'll become miserably docked. Anybody ever been miserably docked? You know what I'm talking about? You just broken, miserably docked. I can't do it. God, I can't do it. I just, it's not in me. That is right. But you can't live there for 20 years either. You will be miserably docked and all alone sitting on a shoreline. That boat could be used gloriously for the kingdom, but it doesn't know how to get grace up into it. It's got to get some grace. It's got to get some inheritance. It's got to get something up into my ship. I got to get something greater than me. I got it cleaned out. I'm empty. I'm broken. I've caught nothing. But I got to get something up in me. Peter got it in his ship. Here's the wonderful thing about grace. Get it up on your ship and everybody around you is going to get blessed. Just as soon as grace enters, something is going to happen. Because the Holy Ghost has what he needs. Immediately he orchestrated the launching into the deep because grace got up into their vessel. There was a reception of grace. The kingdom stepped into the vessel. It stepped off the shoreline. There was a jurisdictional transfer of the kingdom. It went off the shoreline into the vessel. Are you seeing it? I have to receive. That was the seed. As soon as Peter got that in his vessel, 3.5 years income immediately. Right there. Hadn't any manifested yet. It doesn't matter. It was in his boat. Once it's in your boat, it doesn't matter. It's going to manifest. All you got to do is get it in your temple. Get it in your vessel. Get it into your water pot. He said, launch out now. Let's go. They took him out to the deep. Ready? They get out to the deep. Holy Spirit orchestrates. He's got everything now. Believe you receive, and now you will have. Drop down that net and watch what I can do. Peter goes, Master, I did this all night. I dropped this net 10 times last night and caught nothing. He says, yes, but something else is up in your boat now. Now go drop down your net and watch the kingdom operate. He dropped the net, the same net he was in works with the night before. That's the beauty of grace. When you get it, it's going to change everything. It's a free gift. But it must be received by faith, and your channels are going to have to get open for it. Let down that net. When he did, I mean, every fish in the vicinity, in 1 mile vicinity of those boats, whoosh, Holy Ghost, he had another net going. They dropped one net. Holy Ghost had another net down there. Man, they pulled those nets in. They broke the nets, filled his boat, filled the other boat, filled both boats, had them full. Never seen anything like it. Peter falls down prostrate on the fish. The boat was full of fish. He fell to his knees. He's on fish. He's laying on fish, repenting. Depart from me, I'm a sinful man. God said the glory of God was manifested. Manifested the glory. The grace will always manifest the glory of God once it's received into the human vessel. The ship didn't catch the fish. It was the Holy Ghost and that grace that was up in it that made it happen. Can you believe? Can you see Peter? I believe I received the fish. I believe I received the fish. Get in my boat. Get in my boat. No, he received the reception of grace. And grace caused the multiplication. When they got to shore, he says, fear not. Exactly what I just did, you're going to become fishers of men. Because I'm going to show you how to get full of the inheritance of souls. And I'm going to multiply them just like I did this fish. I receive the grace. I receive the inheritance. We need to become professional receivers. Most every one of us are professional doers, professional worriers. We need to do more than do. We need to stop and receive. Receive the kingdom. Receive the kingdom. I'll tell you, I will make a promise to you. We will receive the kingdom. We will receive what's been done. It's finished. You can't add to it. Can't take away from it. It is enough. He finished the inheritance. No more why God, why? When God, when? How come? Why did you do this? Why did you do that? Why did you allow this? Why did you allow this? When, some timing of God, none of that. It's done. I receive the kingdom. I receive the grace. God put enough fish in those boats to pay for 3.5 years. Because when they docked land, all of them followed him. For 3.5 years, paid for their families in one catch. 3.5 years income because grace got up into their boat. What will grace do to us if it gets up into us? I'm going to say, I receive. They that receive the abundance of grace will reign in life by one Christ Jesus. They that receive the abundance of grace will reign in one life with Christ Jesus. Somebody stand in the feet and shout glory. Everyone say, I receive. I receive the goodness of God. Now listen, there are parts of your soul that's going to have to believe that you're worthy to receive it. The Bible says you were made heirs. You were justified freely of His grace. You have a right to stand in the presence of your Father. You have a right to receive as a joint heir of God. This is how the kingdom works. I didn't have to have faith to multiply fish into that boat. They didn't have to have faith to fill their boats. Do you notice that? They did not have to have faith to fill their boats. Peter wouldn't even have that kind of faith. He never caught anything in the first place. What did he have to have faith for? All he had to do was to get grace into his boat. All I have to do is get an allocation. Now listen, tomorrow morning you're going to charge into this, I know. And you're going to go, I receive, and nothing starts flowing. Charge in the next day. Get the scriptures around receiving. It's his good pleasure to give me the kingdom. Every good gift, every perfect gift cometh down from above the Father of light. And there's no variableness, not a shadow of turning. You got to convince parts of your soul. There are things in your belief system that's going to have to learn how to get grace into your boat. So if you get blanked out, go again. If you get blanked out, go again. Then the enemy's going to come and say, something's wrong with you. There's just something about God doesn't like about you today. What I say when he starts saying this, I have been freely justified by his grace. And I am an heir of God because of grace. And I have a right to stand holy and without blame in Christ Jesus before the throne of grace. I am accepted in the beloved. I am holy and without blame. I'm unreprovable in his sight. He presents me faultless before the Father. I have a right to receive because I am an heir of God. Everyone say, I am an heir. I am an heir. I am an heir. We're going to get us some inheritance. We're going to receive a revival because I happen to know there's a revival in the right hand of God. I happen to know there's power and signs, miracles and wonders and demonstration in the right hand of God. I happen to know it's coming. We're going to receive the whole thing. But I'll give you this and I'll close. Don't go try to take on the biggest mountain. Receive something from heaven. Set your mark on something a little higher than you that you can't do on your own, but not too high. It's going to take you 20 years worth of faith to get. And then don't worry about manifesting that. You don't even have to have faith for the van. All you have to do is have faith for the seed. All you have to do is get the distribution of grace and use the imagery of your belief system. I receive. I'm the vessel. Step in. See the Lord stepping into your vessel. See the waters of grace filling your water pot. See the waters filling your temple. See the grace filling your life. See the transference of grace. See the transference of the kingdom. Believe that you receive and you will have. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.